Welcome to the Daily Tour, brought to you by the Fredcast Cycling Podcast. This almost daily summary of the 2007 Tour de France will be presented soon after the end of each day's racing, so that you can stay up to date on the world's most famous, and some would argue, most important annual cycling event. The Daily Tour is sponsored by Fredcast Tours. Fredcast Tours is the perfect companion to the Fredcast Cycling Podcast and this daily Tour de France summary. Come along with us, take in the scenery, taste the local delicacies, become steeped in the cultures, but most of all, enjoy the ride. Visit www.fredcasttours.com for more information. And now, today's daily tour brought to you by the Fredcast. Well, welcome to the Daily Tour Podcast. Today is Wednesday, July the 25th. Yesterday was supposed to be a rest day, but if you've been following the news or perhaps you've been following my Twitters, it was anything but restful. Now, normally I would be giving you the introduction to today's stage and I'd be doing news and notes at the end of the podcast. However, things are going to be a little bit different today. Today we've got to start with the news because, quite frankly, the results of today's Stage 16 are completely blown away by some of the developments over the last 24 hours. So let's start back yesterday. Yesterday we found out that Alexander Vinokourov, who had the awesome, amazing comeback in Saturday's individual time trial, and then came back to win the stage on the road on Monday, the news came out that his drug test that occurred after he won the stage on Saturday came back positive. Now, we can all argue back and forth about leaks coming from French labs and things like that, but the fact of the matter is nobody is disputing the fact that his test did come back positive, and it came back positive for what's known as homologous blood doping, which simply means taking a blood transfusion to try to boost your body's ability to move oxygen to your muscles. We then found out today that the test that he took as the stage winner on Monday also came back positive. That's two positives for Alexander Vinokourov for blood doping. As a result of Saturday's positive test, yesterday it was decided that the tour organizers would not only ban Alexander Vinokourov from the race this year, but they also asked Vinokourov's entire team Astana to leave the race, and Astana did agree. That took out not only Vinokourov, but let's not forget, Andreas Klöden was having a great race as well. This was devastating. And I have to tell you that once I heard about the Vinokourov doping allegations, I started thinking about the way that I treated the Michael Rasmussen situation of a few days ago. And I started thinking that perhaps I gave him too much of a free ride, because then we found out that not only did Rasmussen twice fail to give his whereabouts to the UCI as is required by the rules, but it turned out that there were four warnings against Rasmussen. And all throughout today, as he went down the road, there were fans booing him and taunting him. And even at the end of the stage, and I'm not going to blow it for you by telling you that he won today's stage, even at the end, I could still hear fans, even through the TV coverage, booing Rasmussen as he came across the line. And I started to think that perhaps I had given him, and perhaps a lot of other commentators, had given him too much slack. Because what I believe is needed, and you're going to hear more about this in a moment, I believe what is needed in the sport of cycling right now, and yes, this is a bit of commentary on my part, we need zero tolerance. Break the rules, and you've got to get punished. You can't lead a race like the Tour de France if you break the rules, no matter how innocent the infraction appears. So why is it that I've had this change of heart? Well, because now, no sooner did we hear about Vinokourov's positive test that we also heard about a Cofidis rider, Morini, who was sitting in 54th place after Wednesday's stage. He also tested positive for testosterone earlier in this year's race, and as a result, his entire Cofidis team has now withdrawn from the 2007 Tour de France. And as if that wasn't enough, as if I didn't have enough writing to do for this podcast, we then find out just moments ago that Michael Rasmussen has now been fired by his Rabobank team and kicked out of the 2007 Tour de France. That's the man in the yellow jersey who leads the race, who won today's Stage 16. He's now out of the Tour de France because not only did he fail to tell the UCI, but according to his team, he lied to them about his whereabouts, over where he was and what he was doing during the month of June, when he was actually in Italy and he was not in Mexico, as he had told them. According to a team spokesperson, quote, he broke team rules. It's not even sure if the team will carry on in the race. But at this point, it does look like Rabobank will continue, just without race leader Michael Rasmussen. Now, I haven't been able to find any comments by Tour de France organizers yet, but yesterday, in a press conference during rest day, talking about Michael Rasmussen, Patrice Clerc from the Amaury Sports Organization, that's the group that puts on the Tour de France, was quick to say that, and I agree with these comments absolutely, quote, we have started a war on doping, and unfortunately in war there are losses, but it is out of the question to stop the Tour de France. There was never a question that the Tour would stop, because then the cheaters would win. Clerc was asked yesterday about his feelings about Michael Rasmussen, and he was very clear, as was Christian Prudhomme, in saying that had they known in June about the allegations against Michael Rasmussen, they would not have invited him to participate in this year's Tour de France. Remember, all the riders in this year's Tour de France were asked to sign that pledge that said that they were not involved in doping, that they were not involved in the Puerto affair, and that if it was found that they were, that not only would they accept the standard sanction that the UCI puts out, typically a two-year suspension, but that they would also pay a fine to the UCI in the amount of a year's regular salary. On the subject of Rasmussen and wearing the yellow jersey at this point in the Tour de France, as of yesterday during the rest day, Clerc said, quote, in a period of crisis such as we're living in at the moment, a champion must be a good example. His attitude, his lack of respect shown to the administrative rules, which is unacceptable, should be made known to us, and we would have refused his participation because he is not a good role model for the others in the peloton. Now, speaking of others in the peloton, there were a number of comments that Yahoo Sport posted on their website from current and past cyclists, as well as those involved in cycling in general. Said five-time Tour winner Eddie Merckx, quote, this new scandal has left me knocked out. Since the start, they talked only of doping on Belgian television. And now I learn that Vinokourov has played with his blood and that he's leaving. It might be a good thing. We know now that it's difficult to cheat and those who break the rules are caught. But for me, that's the end of cycling. And I hope the start of other things. Said green jersey wearer Tom Bonin, quote, everybody is saying this is bad. This is not a good thing for cycling. It is good for cycling. If we didn't catch him, that would be bad for cycling. Now I'm sure that 95 to 99% of the riders are doing a good and a clean job. There's always guys who are trying to cheat, but it's not because if you take a school class and one guy's cheating, you don't get the entire class out of the school. You get the one guy, and that's what we're trying to do in cycling right now. They want to change it in 1 minute, but it's hard because you're working with guys like this. Last night when they told me, I didn't speak for 50 minutes because I couldn't believe it, that they're still so stupid like this. It was a beautiful tour until now. We're trying to keep the atmosphere up and keep it a good tour, but it's not that easy. Said Bradley Wiggins, quote, I know that to put 2 minutes into me, what power Vino would need and the effort he would have had to make, and it didn't add up. And of course, he's talking here about the individual time trial on Saturday. Continuing, at the time, I was frightened of what I might say. I didn't want to accuse people because they had beaten me outright. And then, almost prophetically, the team manager of Cofidis, remember, Morini kicked out of the tour today because of a positive test result. His team manager, Eric Boyer, said about Vinokourov, quote, I feel sick. I hope that Vinokourov won't be a coward and deny everything. He said that he worked with a controversial doctor, Ferrari, just for training plans. He always told us what a brave guy he is, that he's stronger than the pain, that the French ride behind everyone else because they're lazier. Now that we see that he is a big, and then he said a bad word. These practices discredit all of cycling. Again, and there is absolutely no doubt that that is correct. Well, yesterday when all of this broke, I also asked for your comments, and I did that via my Twitter feed. So if you're not following Twitter, I still would like to know your comments, especially as all of this has continued to unfold over the last 24 to 48 hours. Please send your comments to the email at thefredcast@gmail.com. And also, go ahead and use the voicemail line. I'd be happy to play your voicemails. That's area code 206-203-FRED. So here's just a sampling of what some of you have already said in an email. Listener Tom said, "I feel so used. I was pulling for Vino, and he's a rotten doper. I was uplifted, as I was by Floyd's heroic ride last year, only to hear about more cheating. Vino and Astana signed the pledge, right? Are they going to pony up the fine? That will tell whether or not cycling wants to change." So he then went on to say, and this, again, a little bit more prophetic, "Rasmussen sounds guilty, too. Have you heard that Rasmussen's story has significant holes? He said he filed his whereabouts with the UCI a day later than the deadline. He said he faxed and then phoned and spoke to the person in charge of doping. The trouble is that the name he named wasn't working at the UCI then." Listener Paul says, "David, I'm also pretty upset about the doping for Vino. This after my Sunday ride with friends where our group was buzzing about the great racing we've been treated to by this year's tour riders and the thought that it might be a, quote, clean tour. It reminds me of the big uncle warning his nephew at the beginning of the movie Fever Pitch about falling in love with the Red Sox. He said, 'Be careful, kid. They'll break your heart. Ban Vino for life and boot the chicken off the top of the next mountain. I'm through with the Tour de Pharmacy. I mean France.'" Listener Christian said, "I'm not surprised at Vinokourov's positive test. Landis showed me last year that there is no such thing as a dominant rider. These guys are all so good and so fit that if one guy stands out, you have to assume he cheated. Lance, too. Winning should come from persistence, consistency, and teamwork." Perhaps most prophetic at all was an email that I received from a dedicated Fredcast and Daily Tour, as well as Spokesman Podcast listener Jim. He emailed me very early in this year's tour, and he noted that when he watches a lot of these riders having epic rides, he can't help now but think, are these guys doping? No matter how innocent they appear, no matter how epic the effort, unfortunately, because of what's happened in the last few years, his initial impression is, if they did well, if they pulled away from the peloton, they must be doping. And unfortunately, at this point, that's the way a lot of us are thinking. So the question at this point is, what happens to the 2007 Tour de France? There have been a lot of people that have said, well, perhaps we should stop the 2007 Tour right here, declare it over, start over in cycling, and move on. Personally, I have to agree with some of the comments that were made earlier. We're catching these guys. The doping controls, the doping tests seem to be working to catch these guys. It is not and would not be right for the Tour de France to stop right now because some dirty riders have made it bad for those who want to race cleanly. Let's finish the race, but let's continue the doping controls and let's continue to work on ridding doping from professional cycling. Still, on that score, I would love to hear your comments. Well, there actually was another explosion of a different type out there on the roads of the Tour de France today, and by this kind of explosion, I don't mean another scandal or a doping problem. This was an actual explosion involving explosives. There is a separatist group in Spain, the Basque separatist group ETA, and they set off, claimed responsibility for setting off a small explosion near the road that the Tour de France was going on today. The explosion occurred after the peloton had already gone through and there were no injuries, but ETA did claim responsibility for this explosion. Well, despite the fact that Michael Rasmussen won today's stage and he's no longer in the Tour de France, I think that we owe it to the riders who were out there just pounding their hearts out on the road to talk about the results of today's stage. Today's stage took the riders from Orthez to Guéret, 218.5 kilometers, two intermediate sprints, one third category climb, two first category climbs, and two beyond category climbs, including the mountaintop finish on the Col de l'Aubisque. Wearing the yellow jersey this morning was Michael Rasmussen. In the green, still Tom Bonin. In the white, Alberto Contador from Team Discovery. And in the polka dot, Michael Rasmussen again. Now, this was the final mountain stage of this year's Tour de France, and it should have proved who would lead the Tour de France, perhaps into the streets of Paris, but certainly into Saturday's final showdown, the 55-kilometer individual time trial. Going into the stage, it seemed clear that no matter who went away in a break, Rabobank would be there to take over the pacemaking at the front of the peloton, and Discovery would be nearby, ready to match Rasmussen's team and get Alberto Contador into position to attack, try to gain time, and perhaps win the stage. Now, early in the stage, four riders broke away from the peloton and opened up a lead that eventually extended to about 8 minutes and 50 seconds at the 30-kilometer mark into the day's racing. The group included Gorka Verdugo from Euskaltel, Stéphane Auger from Cofidis, Christophe Rinero from Sonier Duval, and Vicente Garcia Acosta from Cas de Parnia. The first intermediate sprint came with the riders having completed 36 kilometers into the 218-kilometer stage. At the top first was Christophe Rinero, then Stéphane Auger, then Gorka Verdugo. With Barla World at the front of the peloton making pace, the lead of the breakaway soon began to drop. They were soon on the first of two beyond category climbs today, and this first one was a 14.7-kilometer climb with an average gradient of 8.1%, with the steepest sections at the second and eighth kilometers where there is an 11.5% gradient. On the climb, Barla World continued to drive the race and literally left riders strewn all over the mountain. They took off and headed toward the break, initially taking Popovich, Beltran, and others along for the ride and leaving Rasmussen and several other GC contenders behind. But by the time the racers reached the summit of the first climb, at 79 kilometers into their day, Popovich had fallen back, and the order over the climb was Vicente Garcia Acosta in first, Gorka Verdugo in second, and Rinero in third. The riders got even more stretched out over the mountain as they reached the summit of the second climb of the day, the Category 3 Alto Laza. Now, you can tell how far apart things got when you look at the times of the racers as they passed the summit. First was Vicente Garcia Acosta. Second, Gorka Verdugo. Third, Stéphane Auger, 2 minutes behind Garcia Acosta. 10 seconds later, it was Christophe Rinero from Sonier Duval. Mayo, Sastre, and Soler were 2 minutes, 35 seconds behind, and the Yellow Jersey group arrived at the top, 93 kilometers into the race, 5 minutes and 40 seconds behind Garcia Acosta. At 131 kilometers into the race was the summit of the day's next climb, the Col de la Pierre Saint-Martin, a Category 1 climb. At the top, there was a group of five that went over together, followed by a group of two, then the Yellow Jersey group, 4 minutes, 55 seconds behind. Now, near the summit, CSE's Jens Voigt sprinted ahead of the Yellow Jersey group to ensure that Rasmussen didn't get those King of the Mountain points that he needed to keep the polka dot jersey. Not that it matters anymore. At the first place going over was Maurizio Soler from Barla World, second Carlos Sastre, and third Gorka Verdugo. Soler took over the King of the Mountain's lead on the road at this point, having taken 12 points on the first climb and 15 points on the third. On the final climb of the day, there was the chance to win double points, so Rasmussen still had a chance to maintain his control over the polka dot jersey lead. Keep in mind that to this point, Soler had been wearing Rasmussen's jersey as the second place King of the Mountain points holder. So if he finished the day with the most points, he would be the leader outright. Now, Rabobank continued to drive the peloton, and by the 171-kilometer mark, they'd brought the brakes lead down to just 3 minutes and 40 seconds. It was soon time for the penultimate climb of the day, the Category 1 Col de la Marie Blanc, 9.3 kilometers long, average gradient 7.4%, and the summit is at 180.5 kilometers. At the top, it was Soler once again in first place, second Carlos Sastre, third Iban Mayo, and then Gorka Verdugo, Garcia Acosta, and finally Michael Rasmussen, who came over 2 minutes 25 seconds back. So you could see the Yellow Jersey group was catching up. Next up on the grueling day of racing today was the second intermediate sprint, which came at exactly 200 kilometers into the race. Here it was Sastre first, Soler second, and Mayo third. Then it was time for the final climb of the day, the Col de l'Aubisque, 16.7 kilometers, 7% grade, and it's a beyond category climb. On the early stages of the climb, the brakes lead came down to just 40 seconds, and they were soon caught, and everyone just waited for the attacks to begin. Eventually, Popovich was dropped by the group, leaving Evans, Contador, Levi, and Rasmussen. Leipheimer led several attacks, as did Contador, just to test and try to drop Rasmussen, but the Dane matched each one, clawing his way back to the front. The whole way up the climb, Rasmussen was waving, and you could see him. He was waving and gesturing at the camera motorcycles. He kept trying to get them to move farther and farther up the road. He'd complained earlier in the week that the motorcycles were giving an advantage to attacking riders by breaking the wind in front of them. And it seemed to me that he was wasting an awful lot of energy and an awful lot of anger at trying to get these motorcycles to move. And I felt at the time that it was going to take his energy away from the final kick of the day, where he was going to need all that energy to try to make sure that he could win the stage. Apparently, it had absolutely no effect, because by the time the riders reached the Flamme Rouge with 1 kilometer to go, it was Contador, Rasmussen, and Leipheimer battling for the stage win. And Soler was flying up the hill behind them to try to catch some King of the Mountain points and the outright polka dot jersey lead. In the last several hundred meters, however, Contador cracked, Rasmussen pulled away from Leipheimer, looked behind him, saw no one, zipped up his jersey, raised his hands ahead of him, and got the stage victory. In second place today was Levi Leipheimer, 26 seconds back. In third, Alberto Contador, also from Discovery, 35 seconds back. In fourth, Cadel Evans from Predictor Lotto, 43 seconds back. In fifth, another great Herculean effort for Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez from Barlow World, 1 minute 25 seconds back. In sixth, Jaime Zubeldia from Euskaltel, 1 minute 52 seconds back. Just 2 seconds short of that, 1 minute 54, Juan Jose Cobo Acebo from Saunier Duval in seventh. In eighth, Carlos Sastre. He's 2 minutes 12 seconds behind Rasmussen. In ninth, it's Oscar Pereiro, 2 minutes 27 seconds back, and also 2 minutes 27 seconds back. In tenth, Alejandro Valverde. Now, the top 10 in the general classification, as of this morning, Michael Rasmussen was leading with Alberto Contador in second, 3 minutes and 10 seconds back. That obviously changes. Contador now moves into the first place position, and the yellow jersey, it's Alberto Contador. Behind him in third is Cadel Evans, then Levi Leipheimer, Carlos Sastre, Jaime Zubeldia, Alejandro Valverde, Kim Kirchen, Yaroslav Popovich, and Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez. Why am I not giving you the time differences? I'm waiting for them to be updated officially by the Tour de France, and I will post those on the website at www.thefredcast.com. Meanwhile, the jerseys which are not in doubt, the green jersey is still Tom Bonin, in the white jersey, and deservedly so, Alberto Contador, and in the polka dot now, outright winner of the King of the Mountains points, Juan Mauricio Soler Hernandez from Team Barlow World. Tomorrow's Stage 17, assuming we're going to have a Stage 17, and I do assume that we will, is a 188.5-kilometer affair. We're getting into the flatter portions now as we head towards Saturday's time trial. There'll be 2 intermediate sprints, 5 Category 4 climbs, and 1 Category 3 climb. This has proven to be quite an interesting Tour de France. It's not exactly interesting in the way that a lot of us would like. A lot of us had thought that this was perhaps one of the first clean Tours de France in a long time, and it is very disappointing what we all see going on right now. Hopefully we'll have some better news for you tomorrow. We will be seeing you then. That's it for today's episode of the Daily Tour Podcast. If you'd like to comment on the show, please send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com or send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. Be sure to follow the frequent live updates of the day's racing via Twitter. The Twitter username is DailyTour. There's no space between daily and tour. And you can sign up for these updates at twitter.com. That's TWITTER.com. And please check out our website at www.thefredcast.com. I'll see you all again tomorrow for another episode of the Daily Tour Podcast, brought to you by The Fredcast and Fredcast Tours. Thanks for listening.